Ephesians chapter 6. Don't y'all get worried. I don't usually carry any paper in the pulpit with me. I got pages of it today, so. But I got that for a reason. And we'll find that out in a few moments. My, it's good to be in the house of God. Can you think of a better place to be on the first day of the year than in the house of God? What a day, what a way to start the year off, going to the house of God, worshiping Him, adoring Him, letting Him have His way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11. Let's stand, please. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Boy, there's a whole lot said in that verse, isn't there? What we wrestle against. And we need to remember our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's spiritual. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's bow our heads, please, for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege today to be in the house of God. And thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung. I praise your name, God, for the joy in my heart. That I know that you're able to take care of every problem, every valley we go through. I thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power. And I pray today, God, that we forget about everything else and just center in on the Word of God. Things you've laid on our hearts, help me to share like I should share. I pray today, Father, the special way the power of God would manifest Himself in this place. Speak to hearts of unsaved, drawn by your power. And I pray for those who are backslid out of the will of God, you speak to their hearts. Those who are going through valleys and troubles and sorrows will be encouraged and strengthened. And I pray that every person in this house today will be strengthened and helped. We can leave the house of God saying, been good to be here. Lord, now bless all the requests that have been made. And I pray your will be accomplished. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. And Father, in this scripture, said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so we realize we're no match for the powers that work against us today. But Father, we plead you, the blood, and the Lord Jesus Christ in his name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thinking about this for a long time, and what I wanted to do sometime, and God certainly impressed my heart for it today, and I don't know how far we'll get into it, but I'm thinking about the new year. I'm thinking about everything that's going on and our warfare that we have, and I read in the scripture, and just keep your Bibles open here for a minute, and we're going to go to some other scripture, but here he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Now, I'm not going to talk about that per se, but let me just mention it to you here. What I am looking at, in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to stand. And then he talks about the powers that we work against us, and certainly we're no match for those powers of evil. If we could only There's angels camped round about us too. I'm glad for that. Elisha told his servant, look, pray God open his eyes, let him see. And he said there's more with us than there are with them. But yet we realize the fact that if we don't look to God to help us, then those powers work against us, and they will deceive us, and they will mess us up. So I'm glad we have a help, and we have some armor to put on. And then he said, take a whole armor of God. Maybe it will withstand the evil day. And then he said, having done all to stand, stand. I like that. Having done all to stand, just keep standing. That's what he's saying. And therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, Jesus said, I am the truth. And then he said, the breastplate of righteousness, and the only righteousness we have is his righteousness. Amen. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to carry the gospel into all the world. Then he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith, believe in God, trust in God. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then he talks about praying, always, of all supplication. And so he's talking about the sword, the word of God's a sword, the shield of faith. I remember over there in the prophets when he talked about the man that ran from the bear and the lion. You remember that? He ran in the house and said, leaned his hand on the wall and the serpent bit him. And if we're not careful, we'll run from one thing, another thing, and lean in the house, get lazy on God and get a little cold on God, and the serpent will bite us. And I thought about this. If you got a shield in one hand and a sword in the other hand, you're not going to be leaning on the wall. Amen. You can't lean on a wall like that because you got a sword here you're holding ready to fight. A shield here you're holding up to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And I say to you today, we sure need to feel the shield of faith, because the devil will fire the fiery darts at you, and he'll try to knock a breath out of you, and he'll try to get you doubting this and doubting that. And I've heard years ago, I heard old preachers preach and talk about it, and now I'm experiencing some of it, that as you grow older, if you're not careful, you get tired of the fight. You get wore out, and you kind of just begin to drift along with it. And if you're not careful, you find yourself not standing where you need to stand. And so I'm preaching to me as much as I am to you today. And I believe that God gives grace for every need, though. I believe it don't have to happen. But the devil works on you, older or younger, different ways, but he'll work on you. And he'll stay after you and try to mess you up and get you all tore up. But here's what I'm trying to get to today. Having done all to stand, stand. And he talked about in that first verse I read to you, standing. I'm going to preach a message, God being my helper. And I don't usually even alliterate, but somehow this one fell kind of into alliteration. But alliterate or not alliterated, I want you to get it. But here's my subject. Here we stand. I want us to 2012, marker down, here is where we stand. And then there may be some questions come up. There may be people here today that will feel like that I'm pointing you out or I've got an agenda against you. That's not so. I'm trying to preach what God has laid on my heart. I'm trying to share with you something that'll help you and something that'll help me. And if we're not careful, we'll try to bypass something because somebody's sitting there that you know. That may hit them, but that's all right. I'm just plowing. And if the weed gets in the way, I just plow it up and go on. And if it's in your life, may God help you come behind me and hoe it. Amen. I plow it, you hoe it. And then I'm thinking about my life. I plow up something in my life, then I just need to get a hoe and hoe the rest of it out and get ready. God sometimes sends a plow by. Get us started on it, and then we have to let God help us work to do what we need to do. I hope that made sense to you. And as Brother Mitchell would say, that's the best I know. Amen. As far as I know, that's true. And so we're looking at these verses of Scripture, and this is just a springboard for us. But if we don't have the armor on, we'll never stand like we ought to stand. So I wanted to mention the armor. I wanted to read this scripture from a text because that armor is so important. That shield is so important. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. And you'll have to admit with me, there are times that we have doubts and fears. You'll have to admit with me, I believe, unless you're mighty spiritual, more so than I am, that there's times those doubts come in, those fears come in, those times that you have to really deal with. And we all have those, so we have to realize we need that shield of faith. And we do need that helmet of salvation. Got to be saved. Not saved, you can't do anything anyway. And then the sword of spirit, that's the word of God. And I encourage you about the word of God and encourage you. And we gave out that little soul winner's guide that has a daily Bible reading in it. And while I'm thinking about it, let me give you another key way to read the Bible through each year. And I found this to be helpful in my life. I don't do it every year like that, but it's a good help to do this. Two chapters every day in the Old Testament. On the weekend, well, two chapters every day in the Old Testament. And every day of the week, but not on the weekend. Not Saturday and Sunday. But every other day, read one of the chapters out of the wisdom books. Proverbs, and those wisdom books. Read one chapter out of the Psalms, and those wisdom books. Then read one chapter out of the New Testament. If you'll do that, you'll go through the Bible in a year, but it'll keep you reading in the Old Testament. It'll keep you reading the wisdom books. It'll keep you reading in the New Testament. And that'll get you through the Bible in a year. So whether you use that way of doing it or whether you use the plan that we gave you in the book that we gave you, whichever way you do it, or you might just start and read through. I don't know how you do it. I'm just making a suggestion to you because the first thing we're going to talk about is the Word. The Word. And here today, I'm going to say, here we stand. And we stand here today. Look in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 8. I want you to get this. Isaiah 40 and verse number 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I say amen for the word of God. It's going to stand forever. Somebody said, well, the word of God, it's out of date. It is not out of date. It's more up to date than the morning newspaper is. It is absolutely what we need today. It is the authority. It is what we need to guide our lives. It's what the Holy Spirit uses to help us. It is where we get assurance from. It's where we get our help from. And therefore, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I say it is the, I know Jesus is a final authority and Jesus is the authority of the church, but he gave us a handbook and this is the preserved word of God. It does not just contain some of the word of God. It is the preserved word of God. Now, I'm talking about the King James Bible. I am not one of these that believe that the King James improved on the original Hebrew and Greek. I'm not of that persuasion. And if you ever hear the word Ruckmanite, then flee from it. Because Ruckmanite will teach that the King James Bible improved on the original. If what they say is true, then they didn't have a Bible until 1611. But that's not true. And you say, preacher, you ought not preach like that because there'll be people listening on the internet may not like that. Maybe people in this house don't like that. That be as it may, here we stand. Here we stand. This is the word of God preserved for us. Now, I believe that God used those men in writing the King James and translating it. And they were guided, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, helped by the Holy Spirit. But they were not inspired as the original writers were inspired to write the word of God. God gave us one word, but I'm glad God preserves that word. And God gives us a good translation of that word. You can say what you like to about it, but King James Bible is a Bible for today. It's a Bible that for the English-speaking people since it came out and still is. Amen. And you say, preacher, you ought not be so dogmatic about that. I just decided I'd be standing right here. Here I stand without question. Here I stand. And you got to be careful of what statements you make sometimes about the Bible. And because I made a statement one time, and I just said something about, you know, you think about it, and I was just thinking out loud, talking to somebody, thinking out loud why some of these men are great Bible teachers, and why they are much smarter than I am, and why do they use some of the other versions sometimes? And then it got told that I was leaning toward the other versions. I did not say that. Didn't even indicate that. I just made a statement about wondering about it. So I sometimes wonder if I ought to wonder. But as that may go, and as you may get misquoted, here I stand. The King James Bible, amen. I love it. Beautiful language. Got the truth in it. It is the truth. Now, the other versions do contain some of the Word of God. Fact is, you can take some of the other versions and lead somebody to Christ. They got some of the Word of God. They have some of it in there. But I remember when Brother Steve Dixon was down with us one Bible school, and he was teaching on the King James Bible, and he used an illustration I really liked. I won't forget it. He had a glass of water, and that glass of water, you could drink it. Anybody want to drink it, drink it. But then he took a little bit of rat poison. Not enough to kill you. Wouldn't kill anybody. And put it in that water. Then said, does anybody want a drink of it? It's mostly good. It's got mostly good water in it. But there's a little bit of rat poison in it. Now, do you want to drink that, or would you rather have a pure glass of water? I think I'd rather have a pure glass of water. I think I'll just take a preserved word of God too. Amen. That throughout that is preserved for us in the day English speaking world. And fact is, Brother Joey Wampler, I believe, put this together. And Miss Errol had shared it with me. We talked about this one day. And I just, a few things here I want to share with you. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And then the NASV, NIV, and some others remove the underline portion, and that underline is without a cause. They remove that out. They don't even put it in there. But listen to this. In Mark 3:5, and when he, talking about Jesus, when he looked around and about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said to them, stretch forth your hand. And here it says, Jesus looked around about them with anger because he had a cause for the hardness of their heart. If what the NIV says is right, then Jesus sinned right there. Y'all still with me? I'm trying to help you so you'll know I'm not just running off at the mouth. I'm not just taking my opinion and making a statement that you can look, accept or not accept. I'm telling you the King James Bible is a Bible that we need in the English-speaking world for today. Amen. Luke 2:33, Joseph and his mother marveled at all the things that were spoken of him. Some of the new versions say, change the underlying portion, that Joseph and his mother, to father and mother. Joseph was not his father. Joseph was Joseph. God was his father. Amen. There's a whole lot more could be said. But Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Then some versions state that Jesus did not regard or consider equality with God a thing or something to be grasped. The very opposite of what it said in the King James. They're saying he said he didn't even consider grasping it. He said he didn't think robbery to be equal with God because he was God. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, 1 John 5:7 talks about the Word and the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, those three being one, the most clear verse of the Trinity in the Bible. These versions leave it totally out. They don't even put the whole verse in. They don't say anything about it. They leave it totally out. It is not even put in at all. Acts 8:36, they went on their way and there came certain water, and eunuch said, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Now all this is underlined. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, commanded the chariot to stand still, and went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, that's the quoted verse out of the King James. Here's what's said about it. No part of verse 37 can be found in the NIV. No part of it. The NASV cuts out the verse in brackets and with a footnote that says, early manuscripts do not contain this verse. Without this verse, believer's baptism is put in question. I believe I'll stand right here with the King James Bible. Here we stand. Gateway Baptist Church, here we stand. And we'll let that suffice for those, but there's many more of them. If you'd like to see it, we can get you a copy of that. But I'm telling you, the Bible, the King James Bible's authority is the Word of God. We stand on, we depend on, we look to. It is what we're going to use. It is that. Amen. And here we stand, 2012, January 1st day. Here we stand with this Word of God, and we shall stand on it as long as God gives us breath, as long as God lets me live, as long as I can have a mind to think, I shall use this Bible. Amen. And you'll have other people come by. By the way, if you're in this house today and you have another version, and I'll trade with you. Not my Bible, but I'll get you one out of the office and trade with you. Amen. I've traded a lot of people out of Bibles. Amen. Try to help them. Amen. I'm telling you, you need a good King James Bible. And I'm telling you today, get you one. Stick with it. You say, preacher, I don't know why I agree with you or not. It doesn't make any difference whether you agree with me or not. It's what the truth is. Amen. The best manuscripts used to translate this Bible. And God preserved this Bible. God preserved what he meant to say in this Bible. And I'm saying to you today, thank God for the King James Bible. Amen. I'm not going to get in the rut that it's better than the originals. I'm not going to get in that rut. But neither I'm going to get in the rut that it needs to be improved on. I'm just going to simply say, here we stand. Here we stand. And I get that across today. If I don't get anything else across, I'm going to hit another thing before we finish it up this morning. But we got more things we're going to stand on, we're going to tell you about later. But I want to be sure we got the Bible settled. If you don't have an authority to depend on and get your beliefs out of, and where you know what's really right and what's wrong, really wrong, then you don't have any place to start. You got to have a Bible. Got to have a Bible. So if all these new versions come out and every one of them says they're better than the other one, well, I wonder when they're going to get one right. They keep coming out with another one. And even some of them have homosexuals that help rhyme. Now, that's enough to make you want to throw up. Amen. Thank you, Sister Vivian. Amen. That's exactly right. That's enough to make you want to get sick at your stomach. Think that a homosexual would help translate the Bible and give you a translation. How in the world are they going to give you anything? They're not even right with God themselves. Amen. Good preaching. Here we stand with the old King James Bible. Well, preacher, you're out of date. You're not up to date with everybody. All that stuff I may not be, but I'm up to date with God. On the Bible, I don't have any question about that. All right, won't you turn in Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16. We're going to talk about worship. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, and where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. How sad it is today that many folk are saying, we will not walk therein. But he said, ask for the old paths, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. Now I want to tell you today, we need to get back some old time way of worship. Amen. Anybody can call us whatever they want to, but Gateway Baptist Church, here we stand. We're going to stand on praying. Amen. And by the way, Sister Nadine, I liked it when I saw you walk up to that altar and bow and pray before service while we're singing or something. And over here, I can't think of his name right now, the gentleman over here, he'll be at the altar praying for church. I'd say it wouldn't be a bad idea for a lot of us to do that. Amen. And when we're talking about old pags, I remember, and I'm not trying to live in yesterday, I'm just telling you the Bible here says, look back at the old pags and see, for and ask about the good way and walk therein. And when they came to church and they prayed, they prayed. They wasn't youngins running around. They wasn't no youngins misbehaving while they were praying either. And they wasn't, amen. I know you have a problem with children, little children, you have to deal with that. I understand that. But I'm talking about children don't know better. Y'all hang with me today. I'm about half mad. Tired, wore out. But here I stand. I want to worship, amen. I don't want to come to church and piddle. I want to worship and ask God to help me and give me something, amen. And those old-fashioned people used to come into church, have a burden for somebody's lost and weep, get to crying, get on the altar and cry to God. It didn't make a difference what the rest of the crowd thought about. They just prayed to God and got a hold of God. I say, let's get back to that kind of praying. I noticed even on Wednesday nights when we pray, I know some people can't stay very long. They have problems physically, have to get up and go back to sleep. I understand that, don't have a problem with that. But I get through praying a lot of time and look around, not but two or three left at the altar. Why can't we stay at the altar and pray for a while? Preacher, you're meddling now. I'm going to meddle all day. I got a meddling time in my heart right now. We need to pray, amen. Get around the altar and pray, and you say, well, I got through praying. Well, help somebody else pray. Grab on what they're praying about and help them pray. And just keep on praying. Amen. Y'all doing okay? Y'all still with me? Then we need some old-fashioned singing, amen. Ask for those old pags. Get you some old-fashioned singing. I love talent. People that's got talent to sing, those right family up here, the right family, yeah. They stood up here. And sung and had harmony, and best I can hear it now. They could have been off and I wouldn't have known it. But anyway, they sounded good to me, and Brother Ben's family sounds good to me, and Brother Tim sounds good to me, and about anybody sing sounds good to me. But that's good to have talent, but it's good to have that touch of God on it. And it's good to know they live for God. Amen. I don't want somebody up singing about half backslid. Sometimes all the way backslid. Amen. Of course, us preachers get that way too sometimes. We have to admit that too. But I'll get to preaching in a minute. I'm just telling you about singing right now. I'd rather have somebody get up and sing, concur, tune in the bucket, have God all over them. Amen. We've seen it here, and I've been in churches, and you missionaries traveling have been in churches where some elderly lady got up or some elderly man got up and didn't hardly have a voice to sing or do anything. Brother Fleming left me a message last night, and I was thinking about him. And of course, he can sing, but I've heard some get up, they couldn't, but they had a touch of God on them, got me so blessed I couldn't stand myself. Yeah. Amen. Just rejoice in it and say hallelujah and praise God. Amen. Amen. You don't have to sing like a songbird to be able to praise God with singing. Amen. I'd rather hear a choir right back and sing. And it's good when they can hit the right notes and make it sound good. That's good too. But I'd rather hear them open up their mouth and rear back and let her rip because they love God. Raise their hand because they love Jesus. We got that. Here we stand. Amen. I don't intend to change it. Amen. You're welcome. Amen. Well, here we stand. And don't you singers get offended by anything I said there. If you do, you need to get right with God. Amen. Just get up and sing, amen. And then we need preaching, amen. Old time preaching. Just get with it and preach. And I realize as age creeps up on us, we don't have the energy. One night in Jubilee, I thought about jumping that rail right there. Have to remember I just had a hip replaced. The Lord's put a brake on me right quick. But I got excited and so I lost it so much, I forgot where I was, what I'm doing. And when God gets real like that, you say, preacher, there's times I'm sitting in church and I feel that in preaching, and but I'm nobody else is. Well, forget about everybody else. Just worship God.
Yes, sir.
Root that preacher on.
Yeah. Yeah.
A man will preach a lot better when you root him on.
Yeah.
When you're trying to preach and trying to get an amen out to, it's hard.
Yeah.
Amen. So there's been some places I'd give a whole lot of money if I got somebody just to grunt. I would tell my story about Trixie, but Ben done made fun of it. Done said he'd heard it enough. But Brother Ben, it don't really make any difference. But I have been many of a service. I wish Trixie had been there. That little dog I used to play church with, because when I got through preaching, I'd say, here, Trixie, she'd come. Get her down to altar, and I'd pray with her and pat her on the head. Take her down to Creek and baptize her. She'd get in the creek and stand up and fold her paws. She knew what was coming next. I've been in service where you preach your heart out and trying to get somebody to do something. And your heart's breaking, and you're trying to get people saved. You're trying to get people to get right with God. And they look at you like, what are you talking about? Won't you just hush and let's go to the house?
Good preaching.
I believe I'll just do it. Amen.
Amen.
Worshiping in the house of God is a good place to be.
Amen.
I said a while ago about children, young children. They got to be taken care of. I understand that. But I'll tell you something else. When children get big enough, they ought to know what church is about, and they ought to be in church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They don't need to go out and get a drink of water.
Right.
Amen. I'm talking about the old page. Not the old page. I remember sitting in church. If I even made the least bit of something that wasn't right, my dad cut his eye over at me, or my mom, I knew good and well I was in trouble. We didn't do any of that kind of stuff. But today, it acts like, well, don't make any difference. We'll just run in and out. Doesn't preacher trying to preach and trying to get things and trying to get God to move in hearts and lives, and people take it lightly. Amen. I know that hurts sometimes, but like I said, if it hurts, just plow. I'll plow a little deeper. Amen. Praise God. I know people have physical problems and have to go out. My wife has to leave Sunday school because of a physical. But I know that things happen that have to be taken care of. I realize that. I understand that. But I don't understand why folk just run out to get a drink of water. They can watch TV for 3 hours and never even sip a Pepsi. Good preaching. Y'all doing okay? This crowd right here on front doing okay? How about the second row? Just checking you out. Well, here we stand.
Amen.
Here we stand. I want to worship, don't you?
Yes,
let God have his way. I want the Holy Spirit to be directing the service and do what he wants to do. And when we preach, forget about what people may think or say or do. Just preach the word of God. Let it, and I'll be honest with you. You do get tired. You get tired of trying to hold things in line. And people do this and they do that. And after a while, you say, well, the crowd, might as well let them go do it. But no, you can't do that. Here we stand. May not be many of us at the end of the year, but we're going to stand right here. I hope God gives increase, amen. Praying for that, looking for that. But here we stand. By the way, I'm going to shut my Bible. I make notes on the side, but I want to keep on preaching the blood.
Amen.
Keep on preaching, you must be born again. Keep on preaching, you got to, amen.
Amen.
The blood has power in it. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And I said I was going to close my Bible. That won't mean anything, because I've got some other things I want to say. God help us in these days when we When people run here and there, they're going to have this fellowship or that fellowship. They're not Baptist anymore. And I know there's some Baptists I'm ashamed of, but I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. If you study American history, Baptists had a whole lot to do with the religious freedom we have in America. Amen. We always stood for that. I may disagree with them, but I say they have the right to believe what they believe. But I may disagree, but today they come by, and people get upset at you if you say anything about any other denomination or any other thing, any kind of religion and all that stuff. Well, if they're not preaching the truth, they're preaching a lie. And I thought you're supposed to preach against that kind of stuff. And by the way, we don't have any dance teams up here. There's a certain place has a real good program to appoint about Christmas and stuff, but then little girls come out with not enough clothes on. The old fellas used to say, "What a shotgun," and get on their tippy toes and run around. What's that got to do with Jesus anyway? Some folks think, well, you don't let your girls learn to be graceful. Well, let them gawk into heaven. Hallelujah. I'd rather see them gawk around and go to heaven than dance around and go to hell. Amen. What's happened to us anyway? What's happened to us in our churches? What's happened to our beliefs, where we stand, where we're going to stand? Here we stand. We don't come to church to be entertained. We don't come to church to just so somebody say something good about you or see what you got wearing. You don't come to church to put on a front. You don't come to church to act one way and like some other way. We come to church to worship God. And every one of us needs some help. I do, you do, we all do. And I'm going to try to close here in a minute. I'm going to toss this one out too. Masons, oh me, doesn't hit it now. I was talking to a fellow one day and he said, "Well, Masons is all right." I said, we have communion. I said, "You have what?" I said, that's a church ordinance. How in the world are you going to have communion in a club? And by the way, there's nothing secret about the Bible. They have all kinds of secret handshakes and secret this and make all kinds of vows. And I know some saved people probably got caught up in that and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you right now, it's not of God. You said, but they got a children's hospital down here at Shriners. Boy, they're doing a great work. I'd challenge you to do a little research and see how much they spent on liquor at the national convention. That'll make you think different. I'm for the hospital. Thank God for the hospital. But that's not all they do. And you can rest assured, I'm not just preaching that hot air. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. But you know, today, not much said about that because people are afraid people get offended about it. Somebody's in the Masons and somebody, well, when you die or I die, well, I know when I die, I don't want nobody standing over me with some spears and I got the sheepskin they're going to put over me and they're going to tell me about all my good works and I made it to the other world, you know, did all right. That's another thing that, well, never mind.
Amen.
Why is it today that we don't stand where we need to stand? Here we stand. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, here we stand. And I pray in Jesus' name you'd help us. I pray that you'd work in our hearts and help us, Heavenly Father, today to let the Holy Spirit search us out and do what we need to do. We'll thank you and praise you. And then, Lord, some here today unsaved. There's some young folk who need to get born in the family of God. There's some adults who need to get saved. There's some here today trying to live in two worlds need to get right with God. I pray the Holy Spirit do a work in Jesus' name. Amen.